Massimo.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 1 through 4. And from the depths my prayer ascended, unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 through 4 of 365.
portion of Scripture to be read can be found in God's holy and precious Word in the Gospel according to John, chapter 11, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 11, the first 46 verses. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Albeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of this earth, thou givest us a beautiful Sabbath day, that we may come together in thy house, another Sabbath marking a new week, going by so very quickly in this year, and so our life passing by more quickly than we realize. And thou dost call us to stop for a moment every Sabbath day, to set aside a little day, a little time, that we may not seek all that is necessary for this life, but that we may seek the things that are necessary for our soul. Oh, we beseech thee, because we do not have any realization of the importance thereof, and that thou may come with thy Holy Spirit, which alone is able to give life unto our souls. Thy Spirit, O Lord, makes life to abound, that thou may give it not only in the realm of nature, but that thou mayest give it also in the realm of grace, in a springtime, in the midst of thy church. Oh, that thou may bring thy seed into the depths of our hearts and water it with showers from above, and give that it may spring forth in the times in which we are living, that Satan with all his devices may not have the preeminence, but that thou wouldest show when he does exhibit all his power in this world,
and that thou art still mightier than he, and that thy church does continue unto the ends of the world. Oh, may it be also in the midst of us, Lord, thou sayest that there are 12 hours in the day, and those are the hours wherein that we must work. Because the night cometh when no man can work, when we shall be laid in the grave, and the days of darkness shall be many. And that eternal night is coming wherein there is no reason to work anymore, because there is no hope of gaining, and there is no hope of receiving. O Lord, then bind upon us the seriousness of the blessedness of our time, wherein that we are given in the midst of this world thy holy word, when we are given a measure of health and of strength yet, and that we may live in peace and in safety in the midst of this world, and that we may be given to redeem that time, those few hours that are left, even at the end of time, a blessed time wherein the flower of thy gospel is opened unto us, wherein thou dost give light upon all that has taken place in the past and all that is prophesied in the past. Oh, and thou dost give more knowledge in the midst of a world that is perishing for lack of knowledge. Oh, that thou may give us to seek that knowledge for ourselves in the 12 hours while it is yet day, for the night cometh, and it is a night that is coming quickly. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, and that thou thyself may give life in our souls, who art the resurrection and the life, that thou may give it to us and to our dear children, and that thou may send forth thy Spirit from above, and that thou may give us a truth in the inward parts, that we might know ourselves by the light of thy Holy Spirit, and that we might know our state of wretchedness, our state of misery, and that we might know the seriousness thereof, that we are lying under that sentence of condemnation, or that we may be given to cry out from under it, and that our eyes may be opened, Lord, and that our hearts also may be made soft, and that they may be broken hearts and contrite spirits, and that they may be made to mourn for our sin and desire to depart from our sin, and to be forgiven our sin, to be cleansed therefrom, and to be made holy and fit, and that we might commune and live with thee eternally. O, show unto us that blessed way which thou hast made, wherein it is possible for such as we are to be reconciled unto a holy and a righteous God. O Lord, do instruct and teach us each and every one, because when we lie under that state of death, and then we are not reachable by a minister, and we are not reachable by a man, by a father, by a mother, then it is so impossible, O Lord, from our own side. But it is all possible with thee, to whom is given all power in heaven and in earth, that thou may bless thy word and to us and to our loved ones. Remember us as a denomination over the length and breadth of these countries, that thou may bless us undeservedly. Thou knowest how that we do so generally fall away. O Lord, give us to treasure what thou hast given unto us through our forefathers, and that we may treasure that which we have received, and that we may desire, and that it may be preserved to us and our children, and that we may desire that it may be experienced also in our own souls. And give thy people to raise up from that bed of sloth, O knock thou on the door of our hearts, that thou mayest leave a little myrrh behind upon the handles of the lock. Oh, that we might hear thy voice, O Lord, that we may be given to arise once again, and that we may be drawn forth into this city to seek my beloved. O Lord, that thou may give in the times in which we live a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Remember all thy truly sent servants, all those that labor in thy vineyard. We lay before thee the student in a special way. For thou knowest all of his needs. Wilt thou be on his right and on his left hand? Also, when he hopes to come in the coming weeks, if thou wilt give it here unto this place, in Alberta to bring thy word, and in Canada, wilt thou open the borders to make it possible for him, and that thou mayest endue him with much grace and spirit from on high, when he may labor in speaking an edifying word in the midst of the congregations, that thou may send forth more servants into thy vineyard. Lord, remember us in mercy, for thou knowest the turmoil that is in the midst of the world, and thou knowest the lack that is in the midst also of the churches, and the lack that is in the midst of our schools. Oh, who can preserve it, Lord, but thee, and thou who hast given unto us our schools, that thou may give us also instructors for our children, that our parents may be enabled to do what they have promised in baptism, to bring up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And when there is help needed, that they may also be raised up to go before and to stand before them in the classrooms, that thou may give a desire unto young people and especially unto young men, that they may give themselves unto this most blessed and important labor. Remember also the ministry, and that thou would give men who are truly converted and called by thee, that may have to be thrust forth into the ministry, and that they may bring thy everlasting law and gospel, that thou may help all that do bring it. Remember him that is those that are laboring also in this area. Look upon all those that have special needs. Care thou for the sick and the afflicted, or her that must receive surgery in this week. We lay before thee once again. Make thou all things well, and could it please thee to bless the labors of the physicians, do look upon our youth and our children and the parents, and all the needs and the cares, and wilt thou help and strengthen and give love for one another. And wilt thou supply for all that rule and reign over us, and give men to bring us back unto thy law and to thy testimonies. Oh, turn us again from all of our iniquity, and bring us to bow as nations at thy footstool. For blessed is such a nation that does fear the Lord. Remember us this hour. Be thou on our right and on our left hand. Wilt thou give thy spirit in a double measure, that we may have light, that we may receive wisdom, and that we may have clarity, that we may have thy spirit to go before us, to give us unction, and that thou wouldest go from heart to heart, that thou mayest feed also thy people, Thou knowest those that long for thee, O Lord. Thou knowest those whom thou dost bring into the wilderness. And it is a dry and a barren land. But they need that manna daily from above. And they need to drink out of the waters of that rock that dost follow them. Oh, that thou mayest give it unto them also in this hour. Feed our souls. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and He will make my needs His care. I trust Him still, though in my grief, no answer yet has brought relief. With hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted, I sought for light. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 210.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, the history of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is such a beautiful history. It is so full of gladness. It is so full of rejoicing, of expectation for the church of God, and that did live, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, and that did live in that time. And that rejoicing was magnified by the distress that went before it. That is always so in the deliverances of the Lord of His people. But why is it that we still commemorate the resurrection of Christ today? That is because the significance of that blessed event remains until today, and even until the end of the world for the true church of God. Thus, it is more, much more than just a beautiful history. Did we ever experience that? That it is more, because there is so much that flows out of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for His church, but we are so blind to it. Our text for this afternoon, with the Lord's help, is to be found in the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, the last part of verse 26. John 11, and verse 26, the last three words, "Believest thou this?" So far, the words of our text. Jesus questions Martha about her faith. Believest thou this? Three thoughts. One, her need for faith. Second, her difficulties in faith. And third, her confession of faith. Jesus questions Martha about her faith. First, her need for faith. Second, her difficulties in faith. And third, her confession of faith. So first, her need for faith. Why does Martha need faith? Do you need faith? Do you need faith? Boys and girls, young people, do you need faith? Or parents, do you need just a house? Just need a business? I just need money? I just need to have all the things in this world? Or do you need faith? Do you ever feel your need for faith? Do you ever ask the Lord for faith? And why do you ask the Lord for faith? And what kind of faith do you ask the Lord for? Does natural faith for all of us is so very necessary. That is faith in all and about all the things that are in this life. We all have that. We all depend on that each and every day. We all just don't think about that so very often. We have spoken about that a little while ago, about trusting in a chair. You remember that, right, boys and girls? When you sat down on that bench, you did not even think about it. You only trusted. That is so necessary, because otherwise you could not live. If you thought you could not walk because it would be slippery always, And just like you were walking on some ice, you say, well, then I could not just live normal. That is right. That is so necessary to have that natural faith. Where does that come from? What is that actually? That is really, when we think about it, that we believe that God will continue to uphold the forces of nature, the way that everything is working. And we believe that the way everything worked yesterday, the Lord made that all to work like that yesterday. And when we get up this morning and we begin to go about our work, then we know that all those laws of creation, we believe that, we trust that as it happened yesterday, so it is also going to happen today. That is actually that man cannot live in the world unless really he believes in God. And every man does. They don't all say that, but every man does. And he believes that God is going to continue to make all those things work the same as they have always done. Oh, that natural faith about all the things in this world. Think about truth-telling. Oh, what do we trust? We have certain faith. You tell me something, and what do I think? Oh, then I believe you. I believe you when you say that to me, unless you have made yourself like the Cretans. We read about the Cretans. Paul says they are always liars. How would that be if you could not talk to one another? Because we could never trust. We could have no faith in what we said to one another. All society is turned upside down. Then we can say we are going to work together, but if I cannot trust what he said, oh, faith, natural faith in all, oh, that has so much to do, so much importance in all the labors in the midst of this world. And now we say, Martha, her need for faith. Was that then natural faith that she needed so much? Oh, you say, no. We all have that. And Martha, she needs now something else. It is speaking about a different kind of faith here. Martha is very sad. Why is Martha sad? Because her brother died, and Martha loved her brother. You love your brother, young people? Children, you love your brother? You love your sister? Do they know that? Do they know that you love them? How do they know that? Because there is a poem, I've said that here before. Many go forth in the morning who never come home at night. And hearts have broken for harsh words spoken that sorrow can never set right. What one of your brothers, what one of your sisters, young man, just 2 weeks ago now, terrible accident, he may still be with us. Is that not a wonder? And if you had to lose such a brother or such a sister like that, and you had spoken harsh words to them, oh, then how would you live with yourself the rest of your life? Oh, do you love your brother? Because Martha loved her brother, Lazarus. Martha was very sad. And that is the same often with us, in the midst of us, because then we lose sometimes those whom we love. And then when we lose them, and then we are sitting in our house, and we maybe have such a beautiful house, and we have such a nice car maybe, and all those things that we delighted in this world, and then they are gone. And there that house is so empty. And then we feel something. What do we feel? Oh, we feel that everything is so meaningless. All that what we before thought meant so much. Everything is so temporary. Everything is just passing away. And that can make us even sometimes so very perhaps depressed. And then our thoughts are going beyond all the things that we have. They're going beyond all of this world, all the things of time and of sense, going beyond all of our possessions. Our thoughts are going to those things that we cannot see. We cannot see. Do you ever think about them now? The things you cannot see, or is it all about the things you can see? But in that time, then the things that we cannot see, then our thoughts are going out to those things. Our thoughts go to the things which are beyond the things which are carnal. They go out to the things which are spiritual. They go out to the things of faith. They go out to the things which we believe. Oh, how important then that faith becomes. No, not that natural faith, but how important then and that spiritual faith, that eternal things, the things that are beyond this temporal life. The Lord Jesus spoke to Martha about these things. He says, "Believest thou this?" Why did he say that? Oh, he said that to comfort Martha. Because if we are in such circumstances as Martha, then there is nothing in this world that can comfort us. Oh, then there's only the things of faith that are able to give a man comfort in such a time. And then the Lord Jesus speaks to Martha about her brother. He says, "Thy brother shall rise again." He speaks about the resurrection of her brother. Oh, how Martha needed that now. That she may receive comfort, that she may believe that. Do you also receive comfort? When your husband, when your father, when your mother, when your brother, your sister does pass away. Or will you then receive comfort? And then you will contemplate the things of faith. And when you will contemplate what we read here, the resurrection, then we need to know one another for that. We need to know who that we are, who our wife, our children are. And we need to know then if we will receive comfort concerning the resurrection from the dead, how it is with their soul. Thus, did Martha believe this? Or did Martha have the benefit of faith in that time of the death of her brother? Oh, she did. We read here, she says, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Oh, what a blessed comfort for Martha. What a blessed faith for Martha. Do you see why that Martha needed faith? Do you need faith? Do you need faith today? Do you need faith in preparation for this time, such a time that is also coming for us? Martha and Mary sent to the Lord Jesus. They said, "He whom thou lovest is sick." Oh, is that not a beautiful testimony? They did not say, "Lazarus is sick." "He whom thou lovest." They knew that Lazarus was loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, did that not give them great comfort in this difficult time? Oh, then all our thoughts about the resurrection of the dead in that last day, oh, then they are blessed thoughts. Then they are comforting thoughts. Then they are quieting thoughts when we have to miss one another and when we have to weep over one another in this world. And Martha was a woman of faith also, as Mary was and as Lazarus was. And yet, her testimony has revealed that there were difficulties in that faith. That is our second thought. Believest thou this? Thus the Lord Jesus did not say just, "Believest thou?" But the Lord Jesus said, "Believest thou this?" Thus the Lord Jesus is specific. He is speaking about a special object of faith. Believest thou this? Thus, faith has objects in its exercise. When faith believes, that is the exercising of faith, that is believing. And when believing, when faith believes, it always has to believe something. That is the object, what it believes. And faith knows what it believes. It knows its objects, and it knows when it believes, and it knows also when it does not believe. How does faith know that? Well, faith confides. It confides. And confidence is something that we know. Let's bring that back a moment, children, to the natural faith. You know that you trusted in that bench, do you not? Because you confided. And if you did not trust, then you would have had no confidence. Thus, faith knows, because there are effects of that knowledge. There are effects of that believing. There are fruits of faith. And faith knows when it receives a benefit, the benefit of confidence. And faith knows when it is trembling and when it does not have that benefit of confidence, when it cannot just cast itself. Thus, faith has objects. Martha has already testified. She says, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Martha believed that. That is certain that she believed that. How do we know that Martha believed that if the Lord Jesus had been there, he had not died? Do you know, children? How do we know she truly believed that? That is really simple. That is that she sent for Jesus. She sent a message to Jesus. So there was hope. There was an expectation that was living in her heart, in her soul. So she benefited. She felt that, a benefit, a certain benefit from believing that if Jesus had been there, Then Lazarus had not died. And then that belief, that faith culminated, it ended in an action. Then she did something. She did that something by faith. She only did it because she truly believed that if he were there, he would not die. So she sent, and she was hoping, and she was praying. That is all. If she had no hope, then she would not pray at all. She would not send at all. When there was no faith, no possibility then. No, but there was faith. And she believed that if he was there. So that is all a fruit. All the fruit, sometimes you read, what is the fruit of faith? That is all the fruits of faith. So James says, without works, faith is dead. Because true faith brings forth works. So just like Abraham, Martha was justified by her works. By her works. Oh, you say, that does not sound right. We are justified by faith, Paul says. No, yeah, but James says that a man is justified also by his works. What does that mean? That sounds just wrong. No, that means Abraham, when he offered his son Isaac, he offered him already in his heart. And when he did that by faith. That was a work that faith brought forth. He could not do that work if he did not have that faith. So the work justified him, not in the court before God, no, but before men, that those works showed that he was a man of faith. They were the proof, because they are the fruits of that. That is the same here with Martha. Then she believed certainly that if he were there, then he could deliver Lazarus from dying. The Lord Jesus says, thy brother shall rise again. What do you think? Did Mary believe that? Well, she does not just say, I know that he shall rise again. She said that, I know that he shall rise again. But she says more than that. She says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Thus, she adds to his words. And she makes it in adding, she makes it now more specific. Really taking away something from his words, isn't she? When she added unto his words, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Oh, faith knows what it believes, doesn't it? And faith also knows what it cannot believe, what it trembles to believe. Oh, true faith is honest with itself. And when true faith is honest with itself, it is revealing its lack. It is revealing what is missing. So when the Lord Jesus is gently probing his people, Martha, his blessed child, blessedly probing her, believest thou this? Then he is manifesting what is now lacking, the faults and the shortcomings in the faith of his people. He brings that out. Why does the Lord do such a thing for his people? To manifest their shortcomings. Why? because he wants to take away those shortcomings. He wants to lead them further in that way of faith. He wants to bring them to further objects of faith. Or sometimes he wants to strengthen them in that faith that he has already given to them. So God's people are often such a mystery unto themselves in the struggles and in the difficulties of faith. Sometimes that can seem even like it is a contradiction within their own soul. Martha had said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." What do you think she meant by that? Even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God. What is in her thoughts? Because later, the Lord Jesus says, "Take ye away the stone." And Martha says, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days already." Oh, there can be so mixed feelings of faith in the life of God's people. Do I believe? Or do I not believe? And what do I believe? If I believe in general, why do I not believe in particular? Why cannot I believe this? Or am I really just full of unbelief? And now it is such a blessing when the Lord is leading his people. Many questions, many struggles in their heart. But the Lord is leading them in the ways of faith. Although for them it is so perplexing, and they are ways that often are going through the deep, as it is here with Martha. And it is just in those times that the Lord is instructing his people more and more in the blessed ways of faith. Think about the father of the paralytic. "If thou canst believe." Oh, that poor father. The Lord is leading his people in the ways of faith. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Believest thou this? Oh, what does the Lord Jesus do? The Lord Jesus brings the contemplations of Mary, and he sets those contemplations upon himself and upon the blessed fruits of that faith that is flowing out of himself. So there is so much that is flowing out, so many benefits for his church that are flowing out of the resurrection of Christ. Everything that the church needs is all flowing out of him. There is nothing lacking. But their eyes are so dim. Oh, Martha believed. If the Lord Jesus would ask it of his Father, then he would give it unto him. And now the Lord Jesus says, "Oh, Martha, but do you also believe that I am myself the resurrection and the life? Do you believe, Martha, that I am also God? Do you believe that I am purchasing a right to a church that is living, a living church, and that I have the authority and that I have the power to call them forth unto a new life? Do you believe this? That they may live? Let us sing. 284, 3 and 4. His love is like a father's to his children, tender and kind to all who fear his name. For well he knows our weakness and our frailty. He knows that we are dust. He knows our frame. 3 and 4 of 284. Jesus questions Mary about her faith. First, her need for faith. Second, her difficulties in faith. And now in our third thought, her confession of faith. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That is not an easy question for Martha. She is at this time mourning her brother. He is dead. And death is a very powerful thing. She and her sister could not stop it. No, then you experience as a family that there is no discharge in that war. Martha believed that Jesus could have stopped it if he was there. But he was not there. And she believed that her brother would rise again in the resurrection at that last day. Thus, in the future. And now the Lord Jesus brings Mary into the present. He brings Mary into the here and the now. And he asks Mary for faith, not in theory, but he asks Mary about faith in the practice. Oh, did she believe? Did she really believe that he could raise her from the dead? What do you think? Do you think Mary would like to believe that? Oh, you say yes. Because Mary longed for the benefits and the fruits of faith. When we may believe, then we are so easy. Then there is so much comfort. Then there is so much rest. Oh, believing, true faith is such a blessed thing. And now for her, it was all death. It was all death. And if she could but believe that he could raise her from the dead, then there would be hope in her heart because he was now there. But do you know what Mary now experiences? That she cannot command faith. Do you experience the same thing? Or how many times would God's children like to believe? Because believing, they know, is so comfortable. It is such a blessed thing. It gives so much rest. It gives so much peace. It takes away all their anxiety. Oh, if they may only believe. But they have to experience, like Mary, a struggle. They don't have that just in their pocket that they can pull that out and they can now exercise faith. Believest thou this? What is Martha's answer to that difficult question? Listen. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Oh, it is so difficult. So difficult for Martha. Martha says that in her own words, she cannot come into those particulars that the Lord Jesus is drawing her into. She cannot come there. But the leadings of Christ make Martha to rest upon the foundation. And that foundation, she does believe. She says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." That, she says, I believe. Oh Lord, what flows out of that, that has to be true too. What Thou dost say comes out of that. It cannot be any other. Oh yea, Lord, I believe it, but I cannot come into it. I cannot see all that is flowing now, all that is connected. But I do believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world, that the prophets have testified of in the Old Testament. Oh, there is so much. There is such a mine, like a mineral mine that is to be picked stone by stone to find all the minerals in that mine. Oh, they are treasures, each and every one, that are all flowing out of that blessed resurrection. And now the church has to be led there, step by step, and then often in those extremities of all their afflictions in this life, they may know for sure what they believe and what they cannot believe and what they tremble at. Oh, Martha is so honest. Are you honest about faith? It does not help not to be honest, because the only one we fool and deceive is ourself. Is ourself. The Lord makes His people honest. What would be now our answer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to His question to Martha, "Believest thou this? Believest thou that I am," Christ says, "the resurrection and the life? Believest thou this?" Because Mary was here at a time before the Lord Jesus died. And before the Lord Jesus raised Himself up again from the dead. And we are standing out on the other side of it. That has already taken place. Thus we have the proof that He is the resurrection and the life. Do we believe that? And if we believe that, then we must receive the benefit of that faith. Oh, do you feel, congregation, death within yourself? Do you mourn that death? Do you grieve that death within yourself? You become older. We all become older. And some of us are getting quite up in age. And we go year by year. And we know what that truth is. And we believe in the Bible. Oh, do you ever feel and mourn your death, your spiritual death, that you cannot give yourself life? The Lord Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead." yet shall he live. Believest thou this? Oh, you say, I am dead. I am dead. How can a dead man believe? Is that not what belongs unto the living? And you are right. It is all a gift of God. But is that now not your greatest hope? Or is that ever your only expectation? Your only expectation for yourself in your deadness, that he is the resurrection and the life. When you cannot give unto yourself the least spark of life in your soul, then he says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, believest thou this? Then go on your knees. Then go on your knees to him that is the resurrection and to him that is the life. Husbands, wives, fathers, mothers. Do you ever look around you and see nothing but death? Death all around you. And then you say, well, I cannot give life to anyone. I cannot give that to myself. I cannot give that unto my spouse. I cannot give that life unto my own children. Is it then so hopeless? Do you believe what Christ says here? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Christ declares himself to be the source of all life, of everything that is living. And thus Christ declares a place to go. That is what he said to Martha. Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Then with all the deadness that you can do nothing about. You have no power. Or he declares a place to go for everyone that is dead and that would live. For everyone that has a dead brother, a dead wife, a dead husband, and dead children. Or for every one of them. Christ declares as to Martha a place where they may come. He says it is not just in theory, not just in theory, but in the practice. It is not just in the future. No, he says it is today. Today, Martha. And now what is the fruit? If we may believe this, that he is the resurrection and the life, if that is true, that we may believe that, there will be an action. Because faith brings forth work. And what will be that work when we may believe that he is the resurrection and he is the life? Oh, then we will be found upon our knees at his throne of grace. Oh, stay there. We read of Jacob. He wrestled. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That was the fruit of faith. It was the fruit of faith. The only way that he could wrestle and cleave unto him in the rest. It did not come immediately. No, there was a wrestling. And the only way for that wrestling to truly be there is through that faith. Oh, James says, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not any man think that he will receive anything then from the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this, people of the Lord? Shall never die. Oh, the Lord speaks not only about that which is spiritual, also about that bodily resurrection on that last day. For all whosoever liveth and believeth in him, all that life of grace cannot die. How many fears because of the difficulties of faith. How many fears in the heart of that people, that it will all die. Satan and all his cohorts are not able to slay it. Though they strike it, and though they strike and cause so many wounds, oh, even the death of this mortal body is not able to put out the candle of that life. There's only one thing it can do, and that is to deliver that people from all the struggles and all the difficulties of faith. And then that body will be raised again, and it will be reunited with their soul by the power of him who is the resurrection and the life. And it shall never die. Believest thou this? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give us faith. Give us regeneration. Oh, if we may but believe by the power of thy Spirit that we are lost, then we shall begin to seek to be saved. It will be the fruit of faith. It will be the action by which thy people are shown to believe. Oh, give it in the heart of young and old, for this life passes quickly away from us. Oh, then we shall stand in need of that faith, even as Martha. Open our eyes, that we may prepare, and that we may receive from thee what we cannot give unto ourselves. We may acknowledge thee for thy help. Strengthen us further. Help us to do the labors in thy kingdom. Be with us all in the rest of this day, And wilt thou keep us from sinning against thee and one another, and give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Care for us in the week to come. Spare us, Lord, from a sudden and from an unprepared death, and prepare us to meet thee in peace and in righteousness, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 73, stanzas 2, 3, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face, and I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, thy face, Lord, will I seek. 2, 3, 5, and 6 of Psalter 73. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.